Okay, yeah, general deliverance prayer, page 21. And I'm sorry, I don't have that big.
It's the start of the deliverance tab.
It's the start of the deliverance tab, so it's the first prayer in the deliverance tab.
Okay, thank you.
There were just, the manual goes back a long ways, and we've done updates over the years. But as we went through and checking with Jane, there were just a little bit, just a few things in there that weren't even so much really should have been prayed by the lay people, like breaking of seals and these kinds of things. So we punted a few things to specialize, and we made sure that the wording in deliverance was all things that we could do whether or not we have a priest. If we had a priest or deacon, I'd have them do it. But, like, for example, the beginning of the general deliverance prayer. If Father was there, I would have him pray it, but we could do it as lay people also. I take authority that is mine as a baptized Christian, and in the name of Jesus, I bind any evil power or evil spirit influencing the air, ground, water, fire. We bind all satanic forces operating through nature and from the netherworld itself. What we kind of did is almost every deliverance prayer, like in the manual, starts with that kind of binding. You're setting the field, trying to keep the evil one from interfering in any kind of way. We get a little further down the line, especially with some of the prayers in the family line. I kind of dovetailed it all into one big prayer, so we're just not kind of repeating all of the same beginning part. They all begin with that kind of binding, and for the most part, all end with infilling, of course, which is very important, and protection and thanksgiving at the end. So, one time I asked Jane, you ever notice that they all say air, ground, water, fire? I asked Jane, I'm like, what's up with that wording? You know, what is that? And she's like, that's where the demons are. That's where they are. They like move with water. They're around us. Most people can't see them, but they're in the presence of the air around us or sometimes through the earth and the ground. She has a sense of this, Jane does, but sometimes people, they've come to in a place to pray to close a portal that comes up like kind of through the ground or moves through the water. I mean, that's just where they are. They're all around us. Further in that second paragraph, it's just good to realize kind of what we're doing. A lot of that military spiritual warfare kind of language, it does kind of make sense. Because it's strategic, like how we pray against demonic interplay or communication. The reason we pray against the communication of evil spirits is because they try to get together, to gang up together against whatever good is happening. We don't want them to even be able to communicate with each other because they call on other evil spirits to come in and try to disrupt or what have you. So all of those general deliverance prayers all start with that kind of thing. And the leader, you know, praying against any distraction. Let's read together. Andrew, can you read starting with, we come to you, Lord Jesus, as our deliverer?
Sure. We come to you, Lord Jesus, as our deliverer. As children of the Heavenly Father, we refuse to accept anything from Satan, and so we ask you, Lord Jesus, to loose Joe, from every dark spirit or evil influence. Jesus, we pray for you to break the power of any satanic curses, hexes, or spells ever sent against Joe. May all tormenting demons and servant demons be decommissioned by the power of your cross, Lord Jesus. We bind them and send those demons to your cross, Lord Jesus, immediately and directly to be dealt with you by you, Lord.
Okay, so note it's a bit more general. It's not real specific, like a voodoo curse or the curse sent against Joe by. It's more general. So it really can apply to different types of situations. Remember just now when we talked about if there seems to be bad fruit, and there just seems to be something there in the family or with a person that would lend itself toward a curse. So we don't pray against a curse like this just because. then it gets to be a little bit of a question. How can we tell if a person has a curse, or if there seems to be a curse in the family? What are your thoughts based on your years of doing this? When is something that someone tells you that you're like, I wonder about that, that there seems to be a curse-like effect? What types of things?
Suicide, sexual things.
Yeah.
Alcoholism.
Patterns. Mm-hmm. Patterns of things. Generational patterns of things that can affect a family. Often there are many things of like insufficiency of funds. They just can't get ahead. There are things in the finances. A bizarre set of accidents, like it's beyond what's normally a thing. Illnesses that we're praying against, like kind of infirmity, because of one type of illness or another. Patterns of things that seem to run in a family. But the thing you're going to want to kind of be thinking, I mean, life can happen. Life happens. People made bad choices about their money or whatever it is. But if it seems to be, there's just not even a logical explanation. You know, it just doesn't pan out that this person could have this amount of bad luck or whatever. We say, like, it could be a spiritual. And if there seems to be some reason, did you cross somebody in your workplace? Or did you have contact with somebody that might be into witchcraft? Or is there somebody in your family line that is into witchcraft and it's sort of like, you know, mother-in-law never accepted or liked, you know, the woman that her son married? That is something that we see, and it just was not going to make life easy. And there's just these over-the-top things that happen. So you might pay, you can't pin it down exactly, you don't know for sure, but you could pray a general deliverance prayer like this. Okay? From there, and it's pretty easy, open-ended, but from there, that those parts toward the end, it gets a little bit more specific. We ask the team to just stop and pray, and even ask the person, reveal to us, Holy Spirit, anything else that may have attached to that person. And part of it is going to be in the story that they told. You can hear in the story that there's fear or lies, so you can pray against a spirit of, as it says down there below, in the name of Jesus, I do renounce the spirit of fear and intimidation. Okay, or I reject the lie that. So that's sort of bringing unbound into this general deliverance prayer. Does that make sense? Okay, and then the next page, and you may talk and ask the person, is there anything else presenting that we also should pray about? But there's the infilling, because that's so important, right? When you've cleaned the house out, the house of the person, of the evil things, you always have to infill. This here gives you the words, that's fine, but often it's a good thing to remember if the person, say, had a lot of fear, and that's what you're kicking out, try to infill with the most opposite grace and virtue, like peace, the love, peace of love, okay? And then cover and protection, all right? It's really straightforward, but it's use a lot. I mean, there's nothing in there that we can't say as lay people, and it's pretty open-ended. We can use it with God's healing light or with Unbound, or it could stand alone, a general deliverance prayer like that. Okay, makes sense? Mm-hmm. Let's turn real quick to page 28. This is another new one. Previously, anything in the table of contents about the family line, I found it confusing. It was against psychic attack in the family line and all these different things. So what I did is I took what I thought was the best and strongest wording that we still could pray and put it all together in one prayer. So this is like a 3-page prayer. Always with these prayers, you can just pray what most applies to the person. You can set aside a little paragraph if it doesn't seem to apply to them at all. But again, the whole top part is really that binding away anything that would interfere. Take a look at that first one that the prayee is going to say right in the middle. Now the leader would be leading the person to that. You guys know that everything in red is for you, right? It's not stuff the prayee says. It's just helpful hints for you, and red is for the ministers, not to say, but just that you know. But this is a beautiful one, and it goes to the power of baptism, which you may have to instruct the person. Heavenly Father, let the healing waters of my baptism now flow back through my maternal and paternal generations. Purify my family of Satan and sin. Again, this one is all about family, right? I come before you, Father, and ask forgiveness for myself, my relatives, my ancestors. It's a prayer. It could go beyond what they even really know, right? Mm-hmm. Forever calling upon powers that set themselves in opposition to you or do not offer true honor and worship to Jesus.
That's beautiful.
Right, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
And it really, the whole key of that kind of like a false worship, it goes against the first commandment. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other idols, gods. Even like, I wouldn't like shame a person, but even like look into a horoscope, like who are you putting, who are you filling your mind, letting fill your mind, you know, or the tarot card, that kind of thing. That doesn't give honor and true worship to God, who you say is the Lord of your life, right? So it really kind of calls it out, but an offense against the commandments, the first commandment, it is serious, you know, so it's good that we can take them through that. I now reclaim the territory. That's really good and important too, because the evil one, a person or a family, is a territory that the evil one is trying to gain more and more and more of an upper hand. And in Jesus' name, we take it back and teach the person that they do and they can't take it back. Anything that was ever handed over to Satan, and place it under the lordship of Jesus. Straightforward, simple, but really very beautiful, actually. Mm-hmm. And they're saying those words. Reflect, and again, those elements that go back to Unbound of repentance is important, forgiveness is important. Just mention it to them. And if they say, no, we've already kind of covered that base or whatever, that's fine. But sometimes I'll be like, let's remember, like, forgive, you know, is there anyone you need to forgive? How about the person that got your family into this? You know, someone several generations before that influenced the family into like occult things or whatever. It's like, yeah, I never thought about really forgiving them and praying for them. It can be very freeing for the person. Okay. This is kind of a long one, and whereas the general that we just talked about was very basic and broad and general, this does get much more specific on the next page. But on the bottom of 28, note in the red that we're asking the leader to pray this three times. Why?
Because it's how you break it.
Yeah, it's how you break it. It's an honor of the Trinity. The evil world, the dark world, tries to mimic what's holy and good in the church, basically in the Catholic Church. Like we take vows, like marriage vows, the evil one would influence and encourage false vows. But oftentimes any type of a curse is like layered or levied three times in basically disrespect to the Holy Trinity. So to retake that, we're going to pray the precious blood of Jesus, sealing protection of Jesus three times. And we just usually just tell the prayee, just in honor of the Trinity, because sometimes the evil that's coming at us is spoken three times. Does that make sense?
Does the authority for you or any of us as the leader to do this, has that come through the exorcists of our diocese or from Bishop Herman? Is that why we have the authority to break those curses?
Right. We
in
our baptism, you know, yeah, okay. And that we have the permission from the Archbishop to be doing all of it, all this kind
permission.
Of work. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 And it, you know, in Christ. That's what in most of these, many of the prayers, we as the leader are leading the prayee to say the words by their baptism, mm-hmm. But there's some places where we're just going to set the scene, you know, do that binding and that protection that we can pray by our baptism. Okay, so then this next part on the top of 29, in the holy name of Jesus and through your power, Lord, always through his power, right? I break and dissolve any curse, hex, spell, snare, trap, device, obstacle, deception, spiritual influence, evil wish, evil desire, ever placed upon Joe from any source, including his own mistakes or sins. So it's a little more specific. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that all of those in that paragraph are things that might be coming against him. Hexes from the outside. The next one are more like divination pacts or that person may have gotten into themselves. In Jesus' holy name, I sever the transmission of any and all satanic vows, pacts, contracts, spiritual bonds, satanic works, or any form of agreement with Satan. Now, the person, like, I didn't make any pact with the devil that I'm aware of, but anytime we come into agreement with the evil more than the Lord, it can be a contract of sorts that the evil one tries to hold the person to. I prayed with somebody recently that she got kind of tricked into going to some very strange spiritual retreat. And it wasn't till she got there, they kind of locked the doors and sort of wouldn't let people leave. And this is just the process that we do. Found out she was Catholic and they said, oh, that's all superstition. Bring us your rosary and bring us your Bible. And they destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And she was so intimidated and so afraid, she handed over that rosary. Is that her fault? No, you can understand, but the evil one's not going to let her off. He's like, you're mine. You gave over. You desecrated your Catholic Bible, your rosary, or you allowed that to be happening. So he's going to hold her to an agreement. So we pray to tear up that contract. Mm-hmm. Now she's like, it happened in real history, but it was worse than that. You know, it was just, and she was a young kid. She was like 18. She didn't know. And she was very tricked and deceived, but that's the way the evil one works. Out of a lot of deception, people will get hooked into like saying things or doing things that they ordinarily wouldn't do if they weren't influenced in that way, right? But that's what these kinds of prayers are for. Ever going to clairvoyance or fortune tellers or mediums, all of that is in there. Okay. And again, with the Holy Spirit, inspire us to know anything else that we should pray against. And we command, we renounce the spirit and tell it to go directly to Jesus, right? Which is kind of the way we do Unbound. Take a look at the top of 30, and then I am hopefully going to start this recording, because at this point with the other group, this is when Father Mayo walked in the door, and he makes a few comments before he got into the specifics that he was going to talk about with Soul Ties. But we were talking about this, placing the cross of Jesus between all the generations in the person's family tree. It's a beautiful way to pray, and you'll hear how he describes this as good. Because it's even if there's been unholy or unhealthy relationships, say, in the family tree, it's hard. You don't want to pray to completely sever, like, your relationship with your mother, you know, or your father. You're a spiritual orphan. You don't really want that. But what you can do is put the cross of Jesus Christ in between that person and anyone in their family line. And so we're asking the Lord Jesus to kind of be the filter. Everything that can go through, just like love and basic human respect that you'd have for your parents, but anything that shouldn't, any codependency or, you know, we're asking the Lord Jesus to filter that. And that's a really good and helpful prayer. Okay? So, now, of course, I just lost my my thing here. I think I'm going to need to get... Okay, no internet. Yay. I think I'm going to need to get on the wireless to do this. What can I have you guys look at while I'm trying to... Any thoughts or questions about that whole family line prayer?
I think the new prayer sound better. You know, they're just not as complicated.
Right.
And just repeating.
More simplified.
Right.
More simplified. It is good. Our Protestant brothers and sisters, God love them, but a lot of our prayers are derived from originally Protestant faith that were starting to come up with healing and deliverance ministries. And sometimes the wording is maybe not as helpful to us. Now, how am I going to do this? Let's actually take a minute and talk about the trauma prayer. In the back of your red folder, there's a whole new one that we never had before. And it's called the Prayer of Trauma. There is, in the very back section, the specialized section, there is a much more detailed trauma prayer, but we've never really had a prayer just about trauma. And, it's against a spirit of trauma. It might be something that we would pray with a person. We might also pray some specific unbound things or God's healing light type things. But if the person's main presenting thing is trauma, this is a prayer that we can apply to that situation.
Pray for healing for each of us here.
Okay, so just be aware that that's in there. The things that I put in the red folder, you guys can take home. You don't have the trauma prayer?
No.
Oh, I found it eventually, but I don't know where it started because I've jumbled my
head.
It's one of the only hole-punched pages in the red.
On the right side, second page.
Thank you.
And on the back.
I should have it. See better. It wasn't in there.
No, not in that binder.
Okay. So it is in the binder.
Okay. I don't think I have that one.
Let me see. Let me, because I'm sorry for the many, many papers. You do have it?
Yeah.
We're going to have to probably make a big one for you anyway.
Okay.
Okay?
I get it.
All right. So just be aware that that's in there. And like I said, you can take that one home. And we also copied, as it is in the binder, the Breaking of Soul Ties prayer. So you can kind of read it over at home. Like if you know you're preparing to do that for a ministry, you can read it over. Because I got my internet back, I am going to play. So again, this is Father Mayo had just come in.
You know, just because people sometimes have a really, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of shame around saying all these different things.
Okay.
So people kind of give you the slip and try to minimize what they did.
Okay.
Or
so in a second here, I'm going to talk about that putting the cross of Christ prayer in between, and he's going to make some comments about that, then he's going to go into the soul ties stuff.
Just for thoroughness and minimize it and just kind of move on.
And there's a power in that speaking those words. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find sometimes when you're in the midst of a prayer like this, all of a sudden they'll say, oh, and there was that other thing I did. Was that? Like,